completed sandals were heaped on the ground next to the exit of the cell house. I kicked through them looking for a pair big enough for my feet. The discipline had been created by people who lived in warm places. It allowed each of the avowed to own a bolt, a cord, and a sphere, but it said nothing about footwear. That didn't trouble us much during the summer, but the weather was getting ready to turn cold. And during Appert, we might go extramuros and walk on city streets with broken glass and other hazards. We stretched the discipline a little bit, wearing tire sandals during Appert and soft-soled mucklucks during the winter months. The avowed of Sant Edhar had been doing this for a long time now, and the Inquisition hadn't come down on us yet, so it seemed that we were safe. I made a pair of sandals mine and tied them onto my feet. Finally, each of us took his sphere and made it fist-sized. As we strolled in the direction of the minster, we passed the knotted ends of our cords around these, weaving simple nets to entrap them, then made the spheres inhale and swell to draw the cords taut. Each of us then made his sphere glow with a soft scarlet light. The light was so that we could see where we were going, and the color was to mark ourselves as tenors, which was necessary since before long we'd be mixed up with one-offs. When all of these preparations were finished, the sphere dangled from the right hip and swung against the thigh, which looked fascinating when a couple of hundred of us were converging on the minster in the dark. If you wanted to look like a real Sant in a statue, you could cup the glowing sphere in one hand and stroke it with the other while staring off into the distance as though mesmerized by the light of Canoas. 40 avowed had risen earlier and gathered in the chancel. They were singing the processional of decennial Appert as we came in. Woven into this chant was a melody I had not heard in 10 years, or since I had stood inside the decade gate at sunrise and watched its stone and steel doors grind shut on everything I had ever known. To hear that melody now penetrated so deep into my brain that it literally threw me off balance, and I leaned into another fraw. Leo, who for once did not use it as an excuse to flip me over his hip bone and slam me to the ground, but rather pushed me back up straight, as if I were a crooked icon, and turned his attention back to the aught. All of the music was synchronized to the clock, which served as metronome and conductor. It went on for another quarter of an hour. No reading, no homily, just music. The sky was clear, and so at the moment of sunrise, light washed down the well from the quartz prism at the top of the Starhenge. The music stopped. We extinguished our spheres. I had an impression that the light from above was emerald-colored at first, or perhaps that was a trick of my eyes. By the time I had blinked once, it had gone the color of the back of your hand when you shine a light through it in a dark cell. There was an unbearable moment of stillness when we all feared that, as in my dream, the clock was wrong and nothing would happen. Then the central weight began to drop. This happened every day at sunrise to open the day gate, but today it was the signal for everyone to crane their necks and look up to where the Presidium's pillars pierced the minster's vault. We heard, then saw movement. It was happening. Two of the weights were descending, riding down their rails to open the year gate and the decade gate. We all gasped and exclaimed and cheered, and many of us had to wipe our eyes. I could even hear the thousanders reacting to it behind their screen. The cube and the octahedron descended into plain view and everyone roared. We applauded them as if they were celebrities at an awards ceremony. As they neared the chancel floor, we hushed, as if fearing that they might smash into the ground. But as they got closer, they slowed and finally crept to a halt only a hand's breadth above the floor. Then we all laughed. In some ways, this was ridiculous. The clock was but a mechanism. It had no choice at this moment but to let those weights drop. Yet to see it happen created a feeling that can't be conveyed to one who is not there. The choir was supposed to break into polyphonic singing now, and they almost couldn't. The raggedness of their voices was a music of its own. Outside, beneath the singing, I could hear the sound of running waters.